the message this morning, when God delays, is probably a lot of out of my own experience for the past few weeks, you might say. But this is a Psalm of David, Psalm 13, and when he was on the run from Saul. We talked about that, Bill, this morning. You set that up in our class perfectly for the message this morning. And this is part of that. So Psalm 13, beginning with verse 1, says, "How long, O Lord?" You ever ask that question? How long? "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" David asked the question, "How long, O Lord? How long will my trial last? How long will these troubles go on?" Have you ever asked God that before when something just kept going on and on? How long is this going to last? That was the question that David was asking God. You see, from the time David struck down Goliath, the giant of the Philistines, King Saul hunted down David. Saul was bitterly jealous toward David because David had gained the hearts of the people. And what made it even stickier was that Saul's son Jonathan was David's close friend, and Saul's daughter Michal was David's wife. Strange arrangement, right? David did have a faithful band of soldiers around him that stayed with him for most of the time that he was running for his life. But when they returned to camp one time after a battle, and they discovered that David's family and the soldiers' families had been taken captive by the enemy, that's when David's soldiers decided they had enough and left David. So David was pretty much alone at this point. David cried out to God and said something that we may often think but never say. "How long, O Lord? How long?" Let's notice how David, a godly man, faced real pressures in his life and how he resolved these pressures. What did he do when God seemed to delay answering his prayer? Why did God let David go through this time of suffering? Well, I think anytime God takes us through a time of suffering, what we need to do is not have a pity party. We need to ask God what He would have us to know, or what He would have us to learn during that time, right? So let's consider David's struggles when he wasn't hearing from God. First off, he felt like God had forgotten him. There in verse 1, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" If we're honest with ourselves, sometimes when God delays coming to our rescue, we feel like He's forgotten us. It seems like the trial just lasts a long time. Someone has said that it is the length of the trial, not the severity of it, that threatens us the most. Whenever we have a trial come upon us, whether it's financial or family or health, what we usually do is we call people to pray for us, don't we? Or we call people, our Christian brothers and sisters, to pray for us about our situation. In other words, we kind of rally the troops. And then the trial just keeps going on. You know people are praying, and it seems that everybody's joined with you in praying, but then it doesn't seem like any of the prayers are doing a lot of good. God doesn't seem to be around. We start thinking that God has forgotten us. Think about Job for a minute. Job was hit with one tragedy after another. He lost his livestock, he lost his family, his health struck down. He was patient at first through all of it, but when he wasn't hearing from God, he began to grow impatient, and he just got tired of waiting on God. The same's true of us. We believe God, but we expect God to move faster than he does, right? He never seems to quite move fast enough for us sometimes. And when he doesn't move fast and our trial just keeps going on, we get impatient and tired of waiting. We think that God has forgotten us. Well, not only did David think that God had forgotten him, but he felt like God had forsaken him. See the end of verse 1? How long will you hide your face from me? David felt like God had purposely forsaken him. You know, somebody might accidentally forget about us, but to be forsaken, that's quite a different thing, isn't it? David was God's anointed king. He was the one that would take Saul's place. And now that David was running from Saul and hiding out in caves from his enemies, maybe he didn't seem like king material like he should be. Maybe God forsaken him. God kind of kicked him to the curb, you might say. That's the way that he was feeling. Let me tell you something this morning. Are you listening? God does not forsake his people. Amen. God is never going to forsake you. If you feel like he has, think about the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, God momentarily turned his back on his own son that was carrying our sins so that we could be saved and forgiven and cleansed of our sins so that God would never turn his back on us. Aren't you glad? God won't turn his back on us. He's not going to forsake us. So my question to you this morning, are you saved? Are you truly saved and forgiven of your sins? Have you made a definite decision for Christ? If so, then as your trial continues, know that God has not forgotten you, and God has not forsaken you, right? Notice again in verse 2, David says, how long? As a matter of fact, he says, how long? Two more times. There's four times there he said, how long? It's in verse 2 where we see David begin to be emotional about his problems. He says, how long must I take counsel in my soul? That word counsel there, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, means to give advice. And so he's not hearing much advice from God. He's like he's all alone, and there isn't anyone to advise him. He says, how long should I take counsel in my own soul? All this has created sorrow in my heart, because I don't know how long the trial is going to last. And I bet David really thought that, don't you? Being on the run from Saul and hiding out in caves and always wondering, I'm sure it was hard to even close your eyes and get a few minutes sleep or rest at any time when you knew that someone was on hot pursuit of you 24 hours a day. David asked God, how long will you let my enemy be exalted over me? Saul, of course, was David's enemy. Bigger and stronger than any human enemy that you or I will ever have. But we have a bigger enemy. A bigger and stronger enemy in the spiritual world. His name is Satan. And Satan's always looking for ways to attack you and I, right? And when he gets us down, as he had David down, that's a good time to launch an attack on you while you're down and you're weak, right? It's easy to be frustrated when our enemy continues to attack us. It's easy to feel forgotten and forsaken. But we can learn from David what to do when the enemy doesn't give up. Note with me this morning David's prayer as his trial continued. I want you to make note of how long David's trial was. You know, we talk about David being on the run from Saul, and we talk about all the things that he went through. How long did all that really last? Well, from the time God first put his hand on David to be the next king to the end was close to 15 years. Can you imagine that? 15 years of the same trial going on. It was a long time, right? It was a long time. It was a time for desperation for David. And so David began to pray. And he really began to pray intensely. I mean, down in the dirt, on your face, intense prayer. If you've never been there before, I admire you, because you probably, your life must be perfect, because my life's not perfect. There's been times in my life when it's been time for some intense prayer on your face before the Lord. Intense prayer. That's what David did. It's what we should do when we find ourselves in situations like David's. David's prayer was out of fear for the most part of what might happen if God didn't intervene. In verse 3, he says, "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." First off, David was afraid that if God didn't come through, if God didn't answer him, then he was going to die. He was going to sleep the sleep of death. Now that'll make your prayers intense, won't it? You start thinking you're going to die, would that not turn up the heat on your prayer life a little bit? God, what do you have in mind? If you don't intervene, I'm going to die. Then David was troubled that he wouldn't win this battle against Saul, that his enemy would prevail. Now David was going to be the next king because God had already anointed him to be king. If you think about it, there really wasn't anything going to happen to David, right? God had already chose him as the next king. He was going to see David through. Thirdly, you know, he was afraid that those who opposed him would rejoice because David was supposed to be strong, right? I mean, here's the anointed king of God, the future king of God. He's supposed to be strong and he's running. It's like we say, what will everybody think? Right? Hard, tough times David was facing. So he kept his prayer focused. Have you noticed that? His prayer was focused on God. Consider me, God. Hear my prayer, God. Bring back my strength and enlighten me, God. So David prayed this deep, intense prayer to God. And I've been there. Have you? I can relate to David in a lot of these ways. Can you? But notice the turn that David's prayer took as we look at these next couple of verses in verses 5 and 6. He says, but, I always like the buts of the Bible. But, I have trusted in your steadfast love. That was funny, wasn't it? But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. Amen. But the Lord. But the Lord. This beaten down man, this would-be king, suddenly in the middle of his prayer declares his trust in God. I don't know about you, but often when I'm praying about my own needs and my own struggles, God reminds me of how good He's been to me in the past. He just stops me and reminds me, remember that, remember this, remember when I took care of you then, remember when I didn't let you down then and there. And sometimes when I'm praying about a need in my own life, God reminds me of someone who's much worse off than I am. And it kind of makes you feel silly, doesn't it? Here I am whining about my own troubles when somebody else is much worse. I must at that point just stop and praise the Lord for dealing bountifully with me, right? Stop and declare that I will trust God. I will keep my faith in Him and believe Him no matter how long it takes. In other words, quit your whining, right? God's got this. God's not going to forget us. God's not going to forsake us. When I say these things, my prayers become God-focused instead of Keith focused. That makes all the difference in the world. It's okay to pray about your needs, no matter how small, right? And you can sure pray about your needs no matter how big. But when you're praying, focus on God. Not you, not your problems, not your circumstances, or somebody else's. Focus on God, because when you focus the prayer on God, He's going to take care of all the rest of the stuff. He really does. And you know that, don't you? You know that. That's when we really get in tune with Him. When I focus my prayer toward God, God will take care of my needs. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the promises of Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for meeting all of our needs. You're good and You're gracious. You're far better to us than what we deserve. Father, I pray now as we approach a decision time that You would touch someone. Maybe you already have, I hope, that some of these words rang true as they have for me. Lord, I want You to have Your way in these next few minutes. And I want to invite folks to trust Jesus fresh and anew today. Trust Him fresh. Start again, whatever. Get back in tune with You. Make our life God-centered, God-focused, instead of me-centered and me-focused. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our hymn of invitation.